What's your favorite color?
Rainbow.
Oh, that's nice. How do you like school? Do you like school in Miami?
Yes.
Good. Are you having fun today?
Yeah.
Are you going to go play outside?
I'm not going to play outside, but I'm going to eat something to lie down outside.
Oh, you're going to eat something and lie down in the sun?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's fun. You want to go play? There's Scarlett. Hello and welcome to my channel. I'm Michaela Peterson. If you've been watching my channel for a while or my podcast, you may notice I look slightly different. It's because I was sitting extremely close to the camera and the focal length was at about 25, and now it's at like 50, 60, something like that. So this is actually what I look like in person. I don't look like the fish from Pinocchio. I've been wondering what was going on for about a year. Every time I looked at a clip, I was like, ugh. Like something was off with my nose, not entirely sure. Talked to my husband about it. I was like, we need to fix this. Something's weird with my camera. I do like 12 other things other than the podcast, so it wasn't my primary concern. I was just kind of avoiding looking at myself on video. Anyway, focal length was off. This is me. So I'm gonna do a Q&A. Here we go. I asked my Instagram audience for questions, so I'm just picking randomly from questions that were asked on Instagram. If you weren't creating podcasts, what would you be creating? I actually don't spend very much time podcasting. I got so busy with other work last year that I dropped my podcast from twice a week to once a week. I think it was last October. I'm actually going to be going back to twice a week in January doing in-person podcasts. So that should be a ton of fun. We have a studio in Miami now, and I'm really looking forward to that. If I wasn't creating podcasts, what would I be doing? So what I currently do is I spend probably 60% of my time, maybe 70% of my time managing my dad's brand. I started the social media. Dad started his own YouTube channel way back in the day and Twitter. Everything that he's doing, I've set up a team and oversee that team. That eats up most of my time because he's doing so many different things and I want to make sure people experience him online like he is in real life. There was a lot of misinformation to counter. I also manage PR. So that's mostly what I do now. And then we're starting this Peterson Academy, which is launching next year, which is massive. And I'm insanely excited about it. That's where I'll be also filming my podcast. So we have a studio. We're going to be bringing professors in from all over the world, top professors, to film 8-hour lecture content to put on Peterson Academy. We're building in a social media element that's kind of like Reddit and Instagram. People will be able to DM each other and form study groups and watch lectures and comment on the lectures and take notes. There isn't an app out there like this. We're going to be launching late next year. So I'm spending a good portion of my time managing that project. Basically, what happened was my dad's had this idea for an online university for a very long time. And we put out a course, dad's personality course, in 2018, and that was massively successful. So I was like, okay, dad should be doing more courses. That's what he should be doing, the books, but he should really be doing the courses other than the podcast. And so last year, I thought, we can do our own courses, right? We don't need another company. We can have our own production company and make our own courses. But couldn't we also make courses for other people? And couldn't we give people who deserve a platform more of a platform? And so the idea kind of sprang out of that last year. And then since last year, it's kind of morphed into, well, dad wanted to build an online university. I kind of want to make courses for people. Let's combine that. And now we have an app in production. We're going to be filming like 60 courses in the next year for Peterson Academy. I'm so excited. It's going to be massive. I think we can transform education. I think we can make education accessible to everyone. I think we can start to fight back against the massive scam that is particularly American universities. The amount of money that students are charged to take courses from ideologically possessed professors, to leave them with a degree that doesn't lead to a job, to teach them that capitalism is evil and the reason they're in debt and don't have a job is because of capitalism and corporate greed, even though they just overcharged for a university degree you can't use. It's such a scam. And so I think it would be really funny to get professors from like Oxford and Cambridge and Stanford and U of T and MIT and these massive universities, really top-notch professors, and then produce really beautiful courses, try to make the courses entertaining because you can learn from podcasts. You don't have to sit in a stuffy classroom and learn from a professor anymore. You can learn from podcasts now. So why can't you get a degree from education you can learn from that's entertaining online. Like, why can't you do that? You should be able to do that. There's a huge niche. As someone who loves jewelry, but also values long-term investment and doesn't trust the dollar, I was totally thrilled when I discovered Monet. Their selection of pure 24-karat gold and platinum jewelry not only looks beautiful, I have this guy, but it also maintains its value and potentially even appreciates over time, depending on the value of gold. Each piece is essentially a wearable bullion, ensuring that its value is never in doubt. They also provide a lifetime guarantee to buy back or exchange any Monet jewelry at the prevailing gold and platinum market prices minus 10%. And because each piece is made of solid gold or platinum, it's essentially an investment you can wear. It's actually worth what you pay for it as opposed to some other jewelry companies. You're basically buying gold and platinum. Customers can see the price of each piece change in real time based on the live gold price and can track the value of their jewelry just like a stock in their Monet account. It's very cool. And some of them look really good, and they have rings for men as well. But it's cool that you can just buy gold. Solid 24 karat gold. It's like, it's a different color than normal jewelry, and you can wear that. So that's cool. You can get 5% off with code MP if you go to Monet, that's MENE.com. So if you're still looking for last minute Christmas gifts, or you just want to buy jewelry that's actually worth something, check out Monet.com. You can get sweet things like this, or like I said, rings, necklaces, earrings, very cool. Monet.com, MENE.com, code MP for 5% off. Buy jewelry that is worth what you pay for it. So that's partly what I'm doing. And then also, I've got the Lion Diet part of my brand, and I focus on that because I'm currently on that diet. Ruminant meat, salt and water. My parents are on that diet for autoimmunity and severe food allergies to everything. And I would not even be close to where I am. I wouldn't be able to get out of bed if I wasn't on this diet. So part of the money I make from the advertising that I do on my podcast, I put towards spreading information about the Lion Diet for free. If people are interested in that, I've got a ton of information at liondiet.com. And I did a Q&A for my 5-year Lion Diet experience, which I will link right here. And I am launching a hangover pill that I've been talking about off and on my podcast for a while. Called After Party. Drinking on a carnivorous diet leaves you with a hangover from hell. I used to get bad hangovers before I started dieting, and now they're on a different level. So I use this hangover pill, which is, it's fun. It's dihydromyrisinin. It helps you break down acetaldehyde, which is the toxic byproduct of alcohol. So you ingest alcohol. It works weakly on GABA receptors. Well, people aren't exactly sure how it works, but it seems to work on GABA receptors, which is why it makes you feel calm and relaxed and kind of giggly. And your body desperately tries to break it down because it's toxic. And it starts producing acetaldehyde. And dihydromyrisinin helps people break down acetaldehyde more rapidly. And they've done studies on rats that are conclusive that this works. So I'm launching that as well. Hey guys, I wanted to pop in to say After Party is now available. I know I talked about it in this episode. It is now available at smartdrugs.life. I tried really hard to get it out before New Year's. It has a 30-day money-back guarantee, so you can try it, and if you don't like it, you can get your money back. But I'm confident if you take it properly, 2 to 3 pills before bed, and 2 in the morning, you will never go back. It's way healthier than just drinking, helps you detoxify the alcohol and not suffer as many repercussions. And like I said, I tried hard to get it out before New Year's. If you order it before the 26th, it should come before New Year's. And you can use code MP for 15% off. And that's at smartdrugs.life. Drink smart and enjoy. Okay, next. Was it hard to divorce considering what your dad talks about? Yeah, actually it was. And this is an interesting topic. So I grew up believing that if marriages failed, it was because you didn't know how to negotiate. That's kind of what I grew up believing, was if marriages broke down, it was because the people in the marriages didn't know how to negotiate. I don't believe that anymore after going through what I went through. I don't want to get into details, but you can also just have people that are not compatible at all. I have no difficulty negotiating. And I think if I had known that some people are just incompatible, and if I had been told it's better to get a divorce than to spend years fighting and like suffering really in a relationship that's not good for anybody, I would have got got divorced sooner, and I think that would have been better for everybody. I also don't like this kind of, and I think it's more in the red pill community or right wing community, that women are basically blamed for the divorce epidemic. They're like, oh, 70% of divorces are initiated by women. And in the red pill community, it's kind of like, it's funny. In the conservative community, it's like, it's women's fault. And in the liberal community, it's men's fault. My theory is everyone's crazy now. That makes relationships very difficult. So yes, I guess the answer to that question was, it was very, very difficult to get divorced considering what my dad talks about. It made me stay in a relationship longer than I should have. I don't agree with the more conservative story of divorce that people are being told. I think being in a relationship that's not good for you, I think you should get out of that relationship. Because Jordan, my current husband, he's amazing. He's amazing. I have never felt this good before in my entire life. Hey, we can negotiate. He doesn't take anything I say personally, which allows me to communicate, right? Because I don't feel like I'm going to hurt anybody's feelings. It's fantastic. So just because, like, if you're in a shitty relationship and it's killing you, don't think that you're just the problem. Next, how many children do I want? Okay, this is fun. I think children are amazing. I particularly like them when they're a little bit older. I'm not as much of a baby person, but I know my relationship with my parents now, I think above the age of 23, was just fantastic. And I really want that when I'm old. So I think I would probably 4 more kids. It's a lot of kids, 5 kids in total. However, and I might get some hate for this, but I don't care, I probably won't carry all of those kids. And the reason for that is, it depends, I guess, how my next pregnancy goes. So and I can't tell you how much this is true, but I'm petrified of being depressed again when I get pregnant. So with Scarlett, my depression came back, and I've spent my entire life trying to fight my way out of depression, which is why I'm on, like, only eating meat and salt and water. Like, I have tried everything to get rid of depression, and I'm not depressed. I'm doing fantastic, and I'm petrified that the pregnancy hormones are going to make me depressed. And if I'm depressed, then I'm less productive. And if I'm less productive, then all these projects I'm doing will at least slow down, or at least they'll feel like they're falling apart. They won't necessarily fall apart, but they'll feel like they're falling apart. When Peterson Academy launches, I'll have a hard time promoting it if I'm depressed during pregnancy and pregnant. Anyway, as you can tell, I'm extremely concerned about this. I've literally been praying about it, like, please, please don't bring the depression back if I get pregnant, when I get pregnant. If I have the end of pregnancy is hard on women, period. That's fine. It's just, I don't want to be hit with pregnancy hormones and go crazy as soon as it happens and then not be able to work, because not working kills me. So if the pregnancy goes well, then I will be having a bunch of children. If the pregnancy doesn't go well, though, and I get depressed, and by depressed, I don't mean anxious, I mean, like, suicidal, because I don't get, like, anxious, depressed. I get, like, I'm going to punch holes in walls and jump out a window depressed. And if that happens, I'm going to be egg harvesting and getting a surrogate, because I'm not, just because my brain is weird. And it's definitely weird. I'm on this diet to stay sane. Doesn't mean I don't want to have kids. Plus, I guess the benefit of a surrogate too would be, I think some of these allergic diseases, which I have in my family, are passed on through the birth canal. You inherit a lot of your microbiome from your mother. And so maybe if I also didn't have the kid, they wouldn't have the same kind of allergic disorder that I have. It's a theory. It's not a bad theory. So anyway, that's my answer to having children. I do want more children. I really hope I don't go crazy during pregnancy. How do you handle getting targeted negatively for being conservative? I don't really care about what anybody, including news sources, say online about me anymore. Also, jokes on you guys, I'm actually not conservative. I would say I like the temperament of conservatives better than the average temperament of liberals. I think it's harder to offend them, which is satisfying. You know, it's easier to communicate with people that aren't just like, oh, how could you say that all the time? But I'm not particularly conservative. I just kind of want the government to leave people alone, so I'm libertarian. I'm probably libertarian to the right a little bit. I don't think I'm particularly conservative. I don't really like anybody, whatever that political party is. Ooh, you and your husband met and married very fast. You advise this for most people. No, I don't. Definitely not. So we met in Austin and we really got along, like really, really got along. And I flew back to Toronto and like maybe a week and a half after that, so 2.5 weeks after meeting him, he told me over the phone he wanted to marry me. And I was driving. I almost died. I was like, are you? I was like, first of all, you're younger than me. I'm 30. He's 25. It's like, you're quite a bit younger than me. That seems to pose a problem. Second, like I work all the time. So in order for this to work, you're gonna have to work all the time. We're gonna have to work together. We were already working together. And I had met him and I knew that he was conscientious, so that helped. I was like, we're gonna have to work all the time. I was like, also, I have a child. I have a child. So there is a child. I also have an ex-husband. Like, that's not going away. That's a continual relationship. Anyway, I listed a whole bunch of problems and he was like, yeah, I know. I was like, okay, well, that worked for me because I'd met him and I'd already been like, I knew what worked for me. And I'd never met anybody like him exactly. And so I knew that was gonna work for me. I don't advise it for most people. However, I also don't advise waiting 13 years. What is that about? I feel like 2 years is reasonable, 2.5 years is reasonable. Like you have the honeymoon period of a year. I have now known Jordan for a year and a half, so I'm over the honeymoon period. Still very much in love with him, so that's a relief. But I think at the 2 year period of like dating somebody, you've passed through the honeymoon period and then you could get married then. At least get engaged. I think 2 years is like plenty of time. Maybe under a year is a little soon because there's that first kind of 9 months of honeymoon period where you don't necessarily argue or know each other very well. So no, for most people, I wouldn't recommend that. But also if you've been dating somebody for 4 years and you're like, well, just need to get to know them a little bit better and then maybe we'll get a dog. Like, guys, you're gonna die at some point. Maybe hurry it up. Especially if you want kids. And if you don't want kids, you should want kids. Because what are you going to do when you're old? Who's going to take care of you? I'm taking care of my parents. I'm a very helpful daughter, if I do say so myself. I feel like that's what when kids are useful is when, like, above the age of 20. And then they can have their own little families. You can have grandkids and stuff. Why wouldn't you want that? Next. Encouraged by your post-kicking meds, are you still taking any prescriptions? No, I can't take any prescription medication, really, without experiencing all the side effects listed on the label that's the insert in the bottle, right? So I can't take any antihistamines. I can take certain painkillers as long as they don't have any preservatives. Super allergic to sodium metabisulfite, which is in almost every painkiller in America. I can't take those. I can take Tylenol, kind of, and I can take this after party pill. Isn't that convenient? Although I wouldn't be selling it if I couldn't take it. I don't take any prescriptions anyway, no, because I get severe side effects, right? As soon as I came off of psych meds, I came off of psych meds when I was 23. For those of you who don't know me, complaining about the pharmaceutical industry and how dangerous psych meds are, I came off when I was 23. And since then, I really haven't been able to take any prescriptions without experiencing severe side effects, like crawling sensations all over my body and extreme volatility, like anger, like punching walls, angry, and doom, irritability, a lot of psych symptoms. Sometimes I get hives on my arms, so I don't take any prescriptions. Favorite clothing brand? I really like Aritzia. They have plain clothing. So most of my stuff's from Aritzia. I'm wearing sweatpants right now on the bottom from Aritzia. And then I really like Balmain. For the bougie brand, I like Balmain. I think they have very cool clothes. How's your sleep? Has it improved? Mom of a 9-month-old and everything wakes me up. No, I am mom of a 5-year-old and everything wakes me up. I think as soon as you have a kid as a mom, it just damages your brain into never being able to sleep again. I have to sleep with white noise. So I sleep with like my phone next to my ear on airplane mode for all of you health nerds out there. But I actually sleep with it on airplane mode so that I don't get phone calls. But anyway, white noise and a mask. I use this mask that doesn't squish these eyelashes. Actually, it's gotten intense now. My sleeping routine, it's like yesterday I put my hair in this weird, I saw it on TikTok. Ugh, I was on TikTok for a day. It was horrible. Anyway, it wasn't a whole day. It was a little bit of time. It was awful. But I did see this thing that you can wrap your hair around, make it curly so that it's not damaging. So I had like my hair curled and I had like nose tape on so my nose doesn't get puffy in the morning. And then I had my eye things on and my white noise. That's how I sleep. What's your biggest goal of 2023? And what is your smallest? So my biggest goal is successfully launching Peterson Academy. And my smallest goal is getting my sleep schedule on track because Jordan, the introduction of Jordan into my life has severely negatively impacted my sleep. I feel the best when I go to sleep at 10:30 and I wake up at 6:30. And I've been going to sleep at like 12:30 or 1. And it's just been terrible for productivity, for me feeling good, for overall health and well-being. So my smallest goal would be shifting that bedtime backwards back to 10:30. What would you tell young women as their role model? I really look up to you, smiley face. That's cute. I would say don't sleep around. It just hurts. That's coming from somebody who, had experiences in university that hurt. So don't do that. Just because everyone else is doing it doesn't mean you have to do it. It doesn't make you better. It doesn't make men want you more. If anything, it works in the opposite way. So don't do that and work on yourself. Watch educational podcasts, read books, learn how to do something and get your diet in order, get your sleep schedule on track, exercise. There you go. Do all those things. And then you'll find somebody because you'll be sane. And also, don't take birth control, it makes you crazy. How is your current relationship with God? That's an intense question. I don't know. I think it's good. I think there's more that I could be doing. I was reading the Bible more a year ago. And then, since my sleep schedule kind of went off track, I stopped waking up as early and then I stopped reading the Bible in the morning. So, I should work on that because I did feel better reading the Bible more. Seems weird. I know to all you people who aren't Christian, that sounds strange. It was strange to me too. It's still strange to me. I don't know how it works exactly, but it makes me feel better. And I haven't been doing it very often. I've been doing it, but not very often. So I should work on that. But I'm trying to go with the flow. When you're trying to make something happen and nothing is working for you, I'm trying to avoid things like that. So if things don't work out that I want to work out, I'm thinking, well, maybe that's not meant to be. Maybe God doesn't want that for me. So I've been trying to operate like that, and it's been good for me, I think, because I like to exert a level of control over everything that isn't good for me or the things around me. And so I've let that go a little bit. What are your thoughts on gluten? I don't think anyone should eat gluten. I think there's a lot of evidence that it contributes to gut permeability in everyone, not just people with celiac disease. So you shouldn't eat it because it causes gut damage. And even the, you're like, oh, well, maybe you only eat sourdough bread. Maybe it's the super healthy sourdough bread. There's still evidence that the gluten in sourdough bread that's made in the old-fashioned way damages your gut. So my thoughts on gluten is everyone should cut out gluten right now and they would feel better. I'm that person around my friends. You're eating a donut, then I give them the stare of judgment. Like, don't bring it into my house. I have celiac disease. I don't want any donut in my house. But it's true. Don't get that crumb on me. I don't know what'll happen. Go crazy. Can we see your forehead more often? You imprison it way too much. What did it ever do to you? So here's my forehead. Look at it, exposed. For a while there, I thought my forehead was too big, and I've decided it's not too big. I think it's too fat, too long. I thought it was too long for a long time. Being female is hard for everybody. Anyway, it's like my forehead's too big, I need bangs. So then I had bangs for a long time. And then this year it was worse. It's like, oh, my forehead's so big. But that was partly because the focal length was too short on my camera. So it was like stretching my face out, making my nose bigger and like my upper lip bigger and my forehead a little bit bigger. So now I'm trying the no bangs look. What did it do to me? It didn't do anything to me. I just thought it was too big, and then I changed my mind. This episode is brought to you by NordVPN. I went back to visit family in Canada, and it's still crazy there. I just turned my dad onto NordVPN, keeping your information away from prying eyes including the government, particularly if you're in Canada, is a silly thing to not do in this day and age. It's way easier than it was 10 years ago, and you can basically turn NordVPN on to run in the background and forget it's there. NordVPN has award-winning online security, so you can be confident knowing that you won't be exposed to any prying internet eyes or have your personal information leaked to people who might use it against you. Just go to nordvpn.com/TMPP or use promo code TMPP for 61% off their premium plan and their free anti-malware feature, as well as NordVPN's 30-day money-back guarantee. What's your educational background? Okay, so my educational background, I went to Concordia in Montreal, which is basically the school that people go to if they don't get into McGill. And I had my hip and ankle replaced when I was 17, so I missed about a year of high school. And in order to make up that year, it was a huge pain. I missed the last half of 1 year and the first half of the next year. So it screwed up 2 years of high school for me, and I hated high school. And in order to get all the sciences, I would have had to stay in high school for 2 extra years. And at that point, I didn't know that you could just take courses online. I just didn't know that. So I was like, well, I'm not gonna catch up on sciences. I'll just go into arts. Anyway, I had a good average out of high school. I think I had a 93 average out of high school. It was good average, but I didn't get into the program I wanted to at McGill. So I went to Concordia for psychology and a minor in classics. And I did that for 2 years and I got unbelievably sick and dropped out. And I was so sick year two, I gained about, I'm 123 pounds right now. I was 145 pounds. So I'd gained 20 pounds in 2 years. And I was mostly surviving off of Mr. Noodles and beer and pizza. There's a pizza place right around the corner from me. And I was going crazy and I couldn't get out of bed. Like I couldn't move and I was very, very sick. So I dropped out. I didn't even go to my finals second year. I remember trying to get out of bed and being like, I can't do it. And I'm not somebody who does that. I thought I was, for a while, I thought that everyone had a really, really hard time getting out of bed and I was just lazy. I thought that for a really long time. That wasn't true. I was like deathly ill. Anyway, so I did 2 years of that. Then I went to makeup school because I thought I wanted to be a makeup artist, because one of the things that helped me survive through the hip and ankle replacement was putting on makeup, because it was like, okay, I feel like I'm going to die. I'm in chronic pain. And putting on makeup at school made me feel like I could survive. So I was like, oh, I want to become a makeup artist and then I can help people, you know, feel like they want to survive. So I did that for about 3 months and I was like, oh my gosh, this is, my dad was so not impressed. My mom was like, do what your heart feels. And my dad was like, you're gonna hate it and this is a bad idea. And I was like, what do you know, dad? And so I went to makeup school anyway and he was right. And about 3 months into it, I was like, I'm going to die of boredom. And I wasn't on a diet. I was taking Adderall at that point to wake up and get out. And I went back to school after that. I got all my high school sciences when I was 22, which was, that was a whole thing. That's very frustrating to have to do that. It's like, well, back in high school, you're joking. So I went back and got my high school sciences, and then I started taking night school for a biomedical science degree so that I could get good enough grades to get into the day school program. Then I got into the day school program for biomedical science, and I went into biomedical science because I was in makeup school and my wrist was like not working, my right hand. And I went to my rheumatologist and I was like, I think maybe I'm gonna need my wrist replaced, because this was quite a bit of pain. I was taking painkillers at night to sleep on my shoulders because my shoulders hurt. And I'd already had my hip and ankle replaced. And he goes, not, this is a good rheumatologist in Toronto too. He goes, joint replacements are very rare. It's like, not really. I have two. Like, what? That's what's going to make me feel better? They're very rare. They're not rare for me. They're fairly common for me. And so my wrist hurt. Like, I couldn't lean on my arm to bring myself out of a chair or anything. And even just doing fine motor movements. Like, I used to do my exams, for instance, when I went into biomedical science. I used to do them in a special, like, disability room that people now take advantage of, so that I could type because I couldn't write out the essays because of my wrist. Anyway, so I went into biomedical science and I thought I'd need to get a PhD in microbiology or immunology to figure out my autoimmune disorder. And 2 years into that degree, I came across, you know, I was researching the medications I was on and how the immune system works, and I was taking cell biology and things like that. And I figured out the rash that I had was a celiac disease rash called dermatitis herpetiformis. You guys might know this part of the story that is my life. And I started going down the diet route, and then the diet just paleo diet, like simplified, very restrictive paleo diet, just fixed me. It's like, okay, maybe I don't need a PhD then. What? Are these food allergies? What's going on? Then I went off of antidepressants when my arthritis went away and my skin healed when I went on the paleo diet, and then shit got real. So I was in school suffering a lot throughout the antidepressant withdrawal, trying to reintroduce foods to figure out what I was allergic to, hallucinating occasionally from the antidepressant withdrawal. And then, like midway through the antidepressant withdrawal, I got pregnant. And that was Scarlet. And then my life kind of like blew up. I ended up with a baby, so that's cool. But that's also at the same time Dad got famous. And so I got pregnant. I finished, what was I taking? Organic chemistry and immunology during pregnancy. And then I started working for Dad when I had Scarlett. Started working for Dad because he had all this opportunity and he needed help, like organizing podcasts and capitalizing on the opportunity that was presenting itself to him. And I was like, well, this seems like something I should jump on. I'm going to help. And so I didn't go back to school. And he was like, well, are you going to go back to school? I was like, well, do you want me to go back to school or do you want me to help you? Because I can't do the job I'm doing, which was growing social media, managing events. I like hired a different book agent, hired a touring agent because the people who he was working with were gouging him. So I like restructured all that. And I didn't go back to school because one, I had put my autoimmune disorder into remission, which is why I wanted to go to school in the first place. And two, I was making money. And three, some of the things I was learning in school didn't line up with what I was learning from scientific articles online, right? Try taking nutrition in school. It's like, well, that's not true. It's like, ah, I don't want to pass tests by lying. So I took 2 years of biomedical science and 2 years of psychology and classics, and I have no degree. But maybe with the launch of Peterson Academy, I'll just get a degree from there. Wouldn't that be funny? How's your book coming along? So I've been working on this book since I was 17. Writing is part of what kept me sane through the hip and ankle replacement and like chronic illness. So if I was angry, I wrote down. I've been keeping a journal since grade one. So I have this memoir that I've been writing forever. I've taken a bit of a pause because I'm a bit traumatized from what happened to Dad. I had PTSD from hospitals, which is something that you can get. So I had that. And I was managing that and trying to desensitize myself by like exposing myself to hospitals. And then Dad and Mom got sick, and it was like, oh, I have to go into these places in order to visit them. And then I took care of Dad for 2 years, and it was the worst experience of my entire life. The amount of suffering he had was unbearable to watch. You know that scene in Harry Potter when they're showing the Cruciatus curse to the bug? That's what Dad looked like for 2 years. So I'm still processing that. And so if I get too stressed or if I stay up too late, then I start having flashbacks of like Russian hospital, Serbian hospital, stupid Canadian hospital. And I've written like one draft of what happened, but I haven't gone back and edited it because I'm stressed out about it still, but I feel like I'm almost able to do that. So I woke up this morning, for instance. I woke up too early, and then I was awake in bed, and I was just like revisiting what's happened over the last number of years. And I need to get this book out of me desperately. It's torturing me, and I need to write down all these memories so that I can put them in a nice little memoir and then get it out of me. And so that's still gonna happen. I think maybe March. I'll sit down for a month and just solidly write. I have way more than I need for a book already, and I haven't even written the last couple of years. And I kept wanting to finish the book, but I couldn't finish it because it was like, hey, I had an autoimmune disorder, and then I found this crazy diet that nobody believes, although some people believe it and it's working for them. And then my dad got famous, and And now he's really sick. The end. Like, I couldn't end it. Or now I'm in the middle of a divorce. The end. And it just wasn't a good story. So I kept waiting for my life to, and my family's lives to sort themselves out so that the memoir has a good ending. And it has a good ending right now. So I should write it really quick. Maybe in March. I'm going to call it Could Be Worse. Because that's what I told myself a lot when I was suffering. Well, it's bad, but it could be worse. I don't know why that made me feel better. Dad hated that. How much of marriage is about predetermined compatibility and how much is about effort? So, this is one of those things that kept me in a marriage I shouldn't have been in for too long. It shouldn't be constant effort. I don't believe that. I don't think it should be constant effort. It should almost all be about predetermined compatibility. There are people you get along with and there are people you don't. If you marry one of those people you don't get along with, how much effort can you push into that to make it work? So predetermined compatibility. There's also this interesting study that I just read about on Twitter the other day. And then I read the actual study that was off of Twitter. And they did, I'm just going to butcher this, but they did fMRIs to monitor brain waves. Oh my gosh. I'm going to have to find it. I'm just going to butcher it. They found out that it wasn't just personality traits that made you attracted to somebody. You had similar brain waves. So the vibe thing that I've been talking about a little bit, about if you're around someone, you get a good vibe, that's a real thing. So I used to ignore vibes and ignore intuition because I thought that that wasn't scientific or something ridiculous, instead of understanding that I'm picking up on things that maybe I can't verbalize, but they're real. Anyway, I'm going to put a screenshot of that study up here. And then you guys can read it if you want. It's very interesting. My understand myself results don't reflect myself at all. Can I take it again? So I've been doing, you know, running the marketing teams for my dad's brands as well. And he's got these two products. He's got these two products. Understand Myself and Self-Authoring, very useful products, can be very helpful for people. And on Understand Myself, it's like, only take this once. I was like, that's the worst sales pitch I have ever heard. Don't put only take this once on the website, Dad. You can sell it multiple times. Anyway, I personally have taken that probably 8 times over the period of my life. Before it was understandmyself.com, you had to manually score your personality. I used to give those to people I dated and then add up their personality traits. Be like, you're a psychopath. That sounds interesting. So, yes, you can take it again. Just don't lie on it. Like, don't manipulate the answers. Look at the question and just answer the question. Don't think about the answer. And then you can do it multiple times. I took it throughout my diet experience to see if my personality traits changed throughout, you know, coming off of medication and getting healthy. And the only thing that changed is my politeness level went way down and my neuroticism level went way down. My neuroticism level is at like 20 now. Things just don't really bother me. And my volatility used to be at 99. But that was with psych meds and like 7 medications and Adderall making me crazy. So yes, you can take it again. Take it again. Just don't lie on it. What do you think you would be doing for a career if your dad wasn't Jordan Peterson? Before Dad got famous, I started writing a blog called Don't Eat That, which is now, it's been transported over to liondiet.com. And I started getting invited onto podcasts. This is before I went on Rogan. To talk about diet, my experience with diet. So I do think that even if Dad wasn't my dad, I would have gone down the diet route and tried to educate people on what had helped me. That's where I would have started. I would have written my book because I'd already been writing my book. And I really enjoy podcasting, so I may have just started a podcast anyway. So I might be in a similar place. I wouldn't be launching Peterson Academy, you know, if Dad wasn't my dad. Maybe I would have finished my biomedical science degree. But I think I would have just gone into the diet route instead because that works for chronic disease. I think I would be in a similar place, but I wouldn't be launching Peterson Academy. And I wouldn't have, you know, I wouldn't have as much of an audience for sure. It would have just started in the diet realm and kind of spread out from there. Who is someone you really want to have on the podcast? No one is too far-fetched. Dave Portnoy. He's so entertaining. He's such a dick. He's hilarious. I want to have him on my podcast. Who else? I'd like to have Andrew Schultz on. He said yes, and now I'm putting in a podcast, so you're going to look like a dick if you don't come on. Tom and Christina Segura. Those are three good people. Gabor Maté. I would like to talk to him. I mean, everyone wants to talk to Elon Musk, right? So him. What do you think of psychedelics? Like psilocybin used more to treat depression. I think psychedelics are so much safer than antidepressants. It's a great idea. I would say it's a great idea. Be careful. Trying to find a practitioner that can walk you through your trip. But I've found them extremely beneficial. I think that they can really help open your eyes. They can increase your openness. And being more open, generally speaking, is a good thing. So I'm a huge proponent of psychedelics. Now, don't do so many that you end up in a loony bin. Specifically psilocybin. Okay, I'll end with this one because people ask me this all the time. Does Scarlett get to see her dad? Yes, we co-parent. So she's with Andre half the time. I think that's good. I have to run and do something else. I hope you guys enjoyed this. Thank you for watching. And I guess subscribe if you want to see more content like this. And me not looking like a fish. Thanks, husband. So annoying. I'm going to have to look at those clips for a long time. It's fine. It's fixed. It doesn't matter. It's cool. Okay, ciao.